Marianne Nedbalik with Nedbalik Farm in Sinton, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
In the aftermath of the wildfires, for Texas Panhandle ranchers, the biggest cost of recovery may be rebuilding the ranch. I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
Texas residents continue assessing damage and cleaning up after the major floodwaters that covered a good portion of the state during the recent heavy rainfall. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and we'll take a look at what's happening out in Liberty County in southeast Texas on Texas Ag Today.
There have been several changes to the Waters of the U.S. rule over the past year. We have an update on that rule and its implementation coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Recovering from the Panhandle wildfires will be a long-term process, but things are moving forward. Mitchell Locke is the county judge for Roberts County.
We are doing pretty well. Like I've said before, this is going to be a long-term issue. Most of the producers in the area have found temporary solutions for housing their cattle for grass. But as the year goes on, as we approach fall and it's time for a lot of these guys to wean, then some of these issues are going to come back up and these producers are going to have to make some hard decisions about whether or not to liquidate and where they can go from there.
One piece of good news is the losses in Roberts County aren't as severe as originally thought.
We pulled our number back pretty far. I think at first we were estimating between 7,000 and 9,000 head total, and that includes mamas, stockers, and calves, and I think we're somewhere closer to about 3,000 now. We weren't hit as hard as we first thought. On acreage, we're still just over 500,000 acres, about 515,000 acres.
Locke says they're still trying to get a handle on exactly how much fencing needs to be replaced in the county. For many ranchers, the biggest rebuilding cost will be rebuilding the ranch. James Hunt has more from Amarillo.
As we talked about yesterday, Texas A&M AgriLife has released preliminary estimates showing that the Texas Panhandle wildfires resulted in agricultural losses of at least $123 million. And while it is jolting to hear that at least 12,000 cattle died, AgriLife economist D.D. Jones says more than half of the total impact, about $68 million, actually relates to the cost of infrastructure recovery.
Most people don't realize that the loss of the cattle is one of the smaller numbers. The most expensive number is going to be trying to rebuild all your fence and replace your buildings and replace your emergency hay and feeding that you had. So we called around to the Natural Resource Conservation Service. We talked to a lot of local companies about what is the cost of fencing. And it's somewhere between $15,000 and $20,000 per mile. And so if you really put that in the scope of how all that works, is you've got 1.2 million acres burned. And that 1.2 million acres is somewhere around 1,900 sections of land. And every section could have as few as 1 mile of fence and as many as 4 miles of fence, just depending on, does the rancher share part of the fence with the neighbor, or does he fence every section, or does he fence every other section? So we don't know exactly how much, but if we think about 1,900 sections and at least one as much as 4 miles per section, and every mile is going to cost between $15,000 and $20,000. That is a tremendous expense that we're looking at. And talking to the ranchers over in Canadian and Miami and the areas that were the hardest hit, they seem to think they're going to be replacing more of that fence than they're going to be repairing.
That's AgriLife economist D.D. Jones. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
Three senators, including John Cornyn of Texas, are calling for enhanced interagency coordination in the federal response to the H5N1 avian flu outbreak.
Senators Cornyn, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota are urging USDA to work with the Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, among other authorities, as it addresses avian flu cases and disseminates information to states and the public. They say previous outbreaks have benefited from a consortium strategy wherein the USDA brought in the brightest minds in epidemiology and animal health research to lessen the potential economic and societal cost of the spread. They're asking USDA to take a similar approach, including additional research on wild bird deterrence, vaccines, and advanced biosecurity practices when combating the outbreak. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Not surprisingly, Texas is the number one horse state. New data from the American Horse Council's National Economic Impact Study shows Texas has the largest horse population, with about 749,000 horses. The study measured the horse industry's impacts and economic contributions, showing the equine industry has added $12.3 billion to the Texas economy. Land owned or leased for horse-related uses in Texas is about 1.6 million acres. Floodwaters are covering many counties in Texas after heavy rainfall. Tom Nicoletti has the story.
A disaster declaration for at least 91 Texas counties, up from 29 last week, was issued this week by Governor Greg Abbott. Floodwaters are receding in parts of north, central, east, and southeast Texas from days of heavy, widespread rainfall. But the unfortunate loss of lives and extensive damage in urban and rural areas were the result of the severe weather outbreaks. Liberty County in southeastern Texas was one of the counties hard hit by the excessive rainfall and on the governor's disaster declaration list. Here is Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agriculture and Natural Resources Agent Roy Flora for Liberty County.
There are several producers that have pastures and leases and grazing in the river bottoms, but we were aware of most of that from the storm several weeks ago. So most of them got their livestock out. We've had some low water area flooding. Obviously, we're still kind of in some planting season, so there may be some planting slowed down due to the water, but that's going to affect mainly soybeans. Most everything was in. If this is going to slow down as far as harvest, maybe some of the first cuttings of hay, there are some guys getting ready to do that, but it'll help as far as grass and production in that. Main issue now is the ground is saturated.
That is Liberty County AgriLife Agriculture and Natural Resources Agent Roy Flora. As in many counties across Texas, roads and bridges have been closed due to the floodwaters. For instance, in Liberty County, the farm-to-market road 787 Trinity River Bridge has collapsed, with U.S. Highway 90 also being closed. The Associated Press reports more than 600 people were rescued by local and state authorities, while at least three deaths have been reported statewide. I'm Tom Nicoletti with the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
There have been several changes to the EPA's Waters of the U.S. rule over the past year. Jessica Domel looked at those changes and the implementation of the rule.
The Environmental Protection Agency continues to work on its definition of waters of the U.S., the areas the EPA has jurisdiction over under the Clean Water Act. Previous versions of WOTUS have come under fire as federal overreach by EPA by claiming jurisdiction over areas that only occasionally hold water. Last week in Washington, D.C., Rod Snyder, EPA's agriculture advisor, gave us an update on the water rule. That update comes nearly 1 year after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in Sackett v. EPA that the agency overstepped its authority under the Clean Water Act by restricting private property owners from developing their land despite being far from the nearest navigable water. Here's Snyder.
So 2023 was obviously a very active year on WOTUS. At the beginning of the year, we issued our final WOTUS rule, which, to be honest, was an attempt to try to figure out the prior two WOTUS rules from the prior two administrations have been vacated. We were trying to come up with a middle ground approach that would be durable, stand the test of time. The Sackett case in May, the final decision, certainly impacted a number of things from our final rule in January. We then quickly did an amended final in August to address particularly taking out the significant nexus test. That was clear from the Supreme Court that we needed to remove the significant nexus test from the final rule. We did that in short order, made some other adjustments. We are working now on the implementation process with the Army Corps, with USDA. There's an implementation memo we put out in coordination with USDA last year to look at things like, you know, how, making sure that the exclusions like prior converted cropland are well understood. There's a number of ag exclusions that we put directly into the rule last year, and those will be, even with the Sackett case, those will remain in effect, those exclusions. What is still pending are existing federal court cases that we don't have resolution to yet. So like all of you, we're waiting to see what those are and whether or not they will have an impact. But right now, our final rule is being implemented, I believe, in 24 states, and in 26 states, it's stayed. And so those states are dealing with the what is referred to as the pre-2015 or pre-Obama framework. I think that's not ideal, to be frank, because right now we have a patchwork of implementation across the country. Everybody can agree. Farmers, landowners, environmental groups, can we please get to a steady state where you have a well-understood regulatory framework that is going to, you know, be in place for years to come? Because I think the uncertainty is what causes a lot of the disruption right now for landowners. So we want to get to that place.
WOTUS is currently stayed in Texas, and the state is currently operating under the pre-Obama administration definition of waters of the U.S. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Cool and wet weather pattern has set in on the Central Texas Blackland. This is Dr. Shane McClellan, and I'll have more from Waco.
And internal parasites are a major issue for meat goats. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has more on that coming up.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications must be submitted by May 31st to your local county Farm Bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
He always wanted to be a rodeo clown, but he had to settle for being a radio clown. Here's Kerry Martin with more Texas Ag Today.
A cool and wet weather pattern has covered the Central Texas Blacklands recently. Dr. Shane McClellan has an update from Waco.
In the Central Texas Blacklands, it is either dust or mud. There's not a lot of middle ground. We are either really wet or we're really dry. And right now, we are on the wet side. If you look from January 1 of 2024 to April 29th of 2024, the majority of McLennan County has received more rain than our 30-year average of expected rainfall. You can say the same thing for Central Texas. They kind of follow along that same trend. Our whole area is of being wetter than normal. With 2022 and 2023 dry growing season still fresh in our mind, it is very nice to have the extra moisture and rainfall. Pasture conditions look excellent. It's a really good feeling to go out to check on your livestock and you've got green grass going everywhere that you know they're behind. They'll never catch it. Good feeling. If you're able to put out weed herbicide and fertilize your pastures, and you look really smart, rain will do that to a fella in agriculture. Grass is growing rapidly, and the livestock have ample grass for grazing. Most of our hay producers are looking for that dry window to cut and bale hay. Our wheat and oat crops still look promising. We need Mother Nature to be kind and not have any bad weather. Wheat and oats are maturing slowly with this cool and wet weather, but when and if we turn off hot, I expect we will, our slaw grain crops will dry down quickly and then we'll be right at harvest. Corn is off to a great season. Planting conditions were perfect. We've had rainfall since then very timely, and we do have some reports of some corn laying down due to some high winds and storms recently, but most of that corn is trying to stand back up. The annual Central Texas Vines and Wines program will be May 7th near Lorena at the 15-5 Vineyard. For more information about that vineyard program, you can call the McLennan County Extension Office at 254-757-5180. And again, that was 254-757-5180. Until next time, this has been Dr. Shane McClellan for Waco
with Texas Ag Today. Intestinal parasites are a major issue for meat goats. Dr. Bob Judd says those parasites take a very big toll on the meat goat industry.
There are over 2.1 million meat goats in the United States, and almost 25% of the non-predatory deaths of these goats are due to intestinal parasites. Resistance to dewormer medications is common in goats. Current options for treating these parasites is deworming with multiple classes of deworming medications at the same time, but doing so only as an as-needed basis. Goats in the Southeast United States have exhibited resistance to multiple classes of deworming medications for over 10 years, and a study was performed in 2019 at multiple universities all over the country for several years. Upon arrival at the testing site for the study, all goats were dewormed with either cydectin and albendazole or fenbendazole and levamazole. Feces were collected to determine fecal egg counts on the day of arrival and 10 to 13 days later. The fecal egg count reduction test was used to determine the ability of the dewormers to lower the fecal egg counts after treatment. Gastrointestinal nematodes were considered resistant if the fecal egg count reduction was less than 95%, and this occurred in 6 of the 8 years of the Maryland study, and the Oklahoma test found resistance to parasite all 4 years of their study. It is believed that deworming with multiple products will help to reduce the risk of resistance, and this was the case in many of the goats, but also a significant number of goats had developed resistance. It is important for goat producers to determine if their goats have resistant parasites. It is also a good idea to not treat all of the goats in a herd and allow some susceptible parasites to remain as refugia. Refugia are the parasites that are susceptible to the dewormer, but are not treated so they can compete with the resistant parasites.
I'm veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
If you're a Texas farmer or rancher with an unreimbursed loss from the recent wildfires, you can apply for assistance from the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Unreimbursed losses include but are not limited to livestock, feed, fences, and equipment. Unreimbursed additional expenses such as temporary pastures will also be considered. Completed applications for assistance must be submitted by May 31st to a local county farm bureau office or directly to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. For more details, go to texasfarmbureau.org.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how the markets wrapped up on Wednesday. We saw a lower trade in the cattle complex, both live and feeder cattle futures ending lower with triple-digit losses across the board. Weaker boxed beef prices weighed on live cattle futures. June down $1.15, 176.47. The August down $1.30 at 174.22. October live cattle down $1.47, 177.45. Feeder cattle finishing lower. Nearby May contract down $1.95 at 240.20. August down 202, 252.40. September feeders down 205 at 253.40. Cash fed cattle still quiet for the week. Now, we do have a handful of sales reported. About 4,000 head reported sold so far this week, mostly at steady money. But the bulk of the trade yet to happen. Feedlots here in the Southern Plains asking 186 to 187. Boxed beef prices lower. Choice down $1.79 at $296.70. Select down $3.46 at $288.88. Now let's check the auction barns. We're walking the pens with Larry Marble.
My guest, Gary Butler, Nixon Livestock. They sell every Monday. Gary, how was this last one?
We wind up with 907 head, 128 cows and 13 bulls. Calf market still continues to be strong. 2 and 3 weight steers, 296 to 410. Heifers, 269 to 350. 3 and 4 weight steers, 295 to 395. Heifers, 253 to 330. 4 and 5 weight steers, 268 to 348. Heifers, 239 to 340. 5 and 6 weight steers, 255 to 303. Heifers, 232 to 350. 6 and 7 weight steers, 233 to 267. Heifers, 220 to 305. 7 and 8 weight steers and bull yearlings, 217 to 255. And the heifers were 196 to 2 and a quarter. And on the cow side, 89 to $1.36. Slaughter bulls, $1.08 to $1.47. Stocker cows, 650 to 1100. And we had a few pairs, 1700 to 2000, Larry.
Good. Do you know of anything for this next Monday?
I really don't know of any coming this Monday, Larry. I'm sure we'll have, like I said, I thought we'd have about 700-800 last week, and we wind up with 9. So I'm thinking about that 800 to 900 somewhere in that neighborhood.
Good. Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Gary Butler.
You can catch us here at Selborne, 830-582-1561 or 62. Catch me on my mobile, 830-857-4330, Larry.
Gary, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Neighbor, that's it for this edition of Walking the Pens here on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. Thanks so much for listening to us. Good day.
Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished steady to higher. Nearby May hogs unchanged at 92.52. June up 40 cents at 98.72. Class 3 milks sharply higher. May milk up 24 cents at 18.57 a hundredweight. June milk up 75 at 20.18 a hundred. Big jump in the cotton market today. This oversold market attracted some bullish buyers, and that helped to move prices into triple-digit gains. July cotton up 256 points, crossing the 80-cent mark. It closed at 80.06. October cotton up 229 points, 78.94, with December up 195 points, 77.70. Corn pulled back a bit. Planting delays have boosted this market over the past week. However, looks like all of those weather systems across the Corn Belt are moving out and will stay out for a while. That will allow things to dry out and farmers to get caught up with the planters. July corn down 8.5, 458.5. September down 8 cents at 468.5. Hard and soft wheat both closing lower. July Kansas City wheat down 15.5, 648.5. July Chicago wheat down 8.75 at 634 a bushel. In the energy markets, June natural gas down 2 cents at 218. June West Texas crude up 79 at 79.17 a barrel. The financial markets mixed, with the Dow up 171 points, 39,055. The NASDAQ down 29, 16,302. The S&P unchanged at 5,187. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A, Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.